to Discograffiti, the music podcast that delivers the objective truth about the entire discography of every single artist and band that ever existed. I'm your host, Dave Gebro, and in this episode, we'll be turning our spray cans on Foxygen's Jonathan Rado, who, since appearing in our Rundgren doubleheader, has gone on to produce the great almighty Wise Blood record and In the Darkness, Hearts Aglow. If you're tuning in for the first time, I've left my career as a hearing instrument specialist. We're over a year into the show, and there's a real audience building. Six-figure downloads in 70 countries, consistently ranked in the top 30 music commentary podcasts. And so now I'm on a serious mission. Life is too short and the state of current music too dire for me not to be doubling down on Discograffiti. By the time you hear this, my wife and I and our four-year-old boy Mason will be driving to the East Coast across the frozen tundra that is currently America to live frugally. And all of that just to ensure that Discograffiti is the standard bearer for all that's awesome about music. So don't go anywhere when this episode's done. Subscribe. Coming up, we have a private press special about Michael Farnetti's Good Morning Kisses featuring the man himself, Sergio Diaz from Os Mutantes writing his own early work, a four-part series called We Are Stardust, We Are Over about the four least fortunate participants of the 1969 Woodstock Festival, and on and on and on, way into the future. Hey guys, throw me a bone here. I need your help. Check out all the back episodes. Share the ones you dig with your friends. Also, join our Facebook group, Discograffiti Soldiers of Sound. We're on Instagram and Twitter too, and quite active. You can find the link to our legendary playlist in the show notes, and also on our website at discograffiti.com. And if you're like me and enough is just never enough, then visit patreon.com/discograffiti and become one of our Patreon Soldiers of Sound. Our Patreon feed, it's the ultimate music deep dive. I post three shows a week. The main show on Sunday, then Discograffiti's The Private Press with Paul Major on Tuesdays, and a Thursday wildcard episode, which is either an interview with that week's guest or one of our other offshoot shows like Rock Cousteau, Queasy Listening, and Battle Royale. Just to be clear, this show is entirely listener-supported, so please, give it a shot for a month. You've got nothing to lose. And away we go then with Jonathan Rado.
So here we are with Jonathan Rado, the Oxygen from Foxygen. Would you say that that's an accurate assessment?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, we're on the right track then.
He's maybe more the hydrogen.
Right, you're the hydrogen. Tell me about why.
I'm just the guy.
You're just a guy? All right, so talk to me about why you picked. By the way, I was a fan previous to us being friends, but the reason why you picked Rundgren, so you already told me the answer is buried within the beautifully sloppy puzzle that is Foxygen and Star Power. So now that we've gone through all this, you know, listening again to the records and things like that, does it help you understand the record anymore that you created? It's okay
no.
If it's a no, yeah.
No, it does. I do think that I sort of looked to Todd Rundgren as a kind of model of what you could do with a music career. He was a successful producer, and he made music as well that was also worth, you know, discussing for 3+ hours. So like, it's just a really good example of like creativity, I guess not that long, like 10 years of profound like creativity.
Which is actually pretty long. 10 years, yeah. In retrospect, yeah. Now looking back at it, zooming way out, it's, you know, it seems like it was, like, you know, because
a lot of stuff done in that time period. Yeah. Like, healing is like, what, 1982?
Yeah, 81.
Yeah, like, yeah. 81, yeah. Yeah.
That's a crazy decade of all those different things. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he does so much more, you
right.
know?
Yeah, which this is only one side of his, what we talked about today was only, you know, there's a lot more stuff besides that, even during those 10 years.
And so that's where, you know, your work that I've heard and his are, you know, feel like they're comparable because, you know, you seem to, you know, ingest the style and create what seems to me to be the ultimate version of your take on that style. And then you move on to something completely and ineffably different.
Yeah, Foxygen always followed that.
But is that you or is that you with Sam together deciding on that being a thing?
Well, it's always me and Sam.
Right.
You know, like, it's always like a joint. It's like that's a band, you know?
Right,
it's truly a band in every sense of the word. Like, he brings a lot to the table and I bring just, you know, things to the table as well, you know? So
you guys started in ninth grade, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then, so just during your high school years, somehow between the SATs and baloney like that, you pumped out 7 albums?
Yeah, I guess so. There's, I could count them. We have Electric Sun Machine.
Jurassic Explosion, Philippic?
Yeah, there's one called Cat Food, Dog Food, Motor Oil, Jurassic Explosion, Philippic.
Which was two hours long, that record.
Yeah, that's a double album for sure.
What was your recording process like in those days?
It was like all into the like 1/8-inch input in the back of my PC. Mixer. Like some mics plugged into like a Yamaha mixer and then like the headphone out of that mixer.
Are you running like a Cakewalk or something? What software?
Yeah, I was Sony Acid.
Wow. That's I used that to score Dave's first movie.
That's right.
Oh, really?
He did The Homeboy. It's a comedy, but a white rapper.
That's sick. Yeah, there's some acid loops on those on the Foxtrot records for sure.
There was such a small number of them available commercially.
Yeah, there's this one that's featured heavily, and it's like this voice that's going like, don't eat your bark, your pop up, don't eat your pop, your pop up, chop. I just remember. I mean, it's like a hook of one of the Foxtrot songs.
Is it the transition now? So you guys were so fucking prolific, it was ridiculous, right? So, but now you're kind of averaging about 3 years in between albums, which is sane. I mean, it allows you to get a decent night's sleep at least. So how is that, is it changed the dynamic because you guys are not like living and breathing, it's just Foxygen, you get to do your own, you know, production work and things of that nature?
Yeah, it's nice, you know. I also think that there's lots of practical reasons, you know, to like not necessarily pursue a band as like a long-term career.
Right. Yeah.
Are you pulling? You know, away, like, are you pulling away from Foxygen?
No, I'm not. I mean, Foxygen is. Our whole motto is that it was never a band.
Yeah, that's kind of the nice thing about it being the irreducible core of two is that it doesn't take.
It's a recording project.
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot to get the band back together if you feel like it.
Yeah.
It's just like we're not touring. And there's music that we are working on, but there's not like any pressure or labels or really anything like keeping us to any sort of schedule.
So your goal was, correct me if I'm wrong, from what I understand, was to be a record producer, right? Above and beyond being a recording artist?
I just like making music. And then I met a few people in my life who inspired me a lot to become, you know, to follow.
Who is potentially the most Swift. Important? Yeah. So yeah. That's, I want to talk Swift. About that because, yeah. You know, that was 21st Century Ambassadors, right?
Yeah. He produced that album.
So talk to us if you can about the inspiration that he brought to the table.
Oh, well, he's just an awesome, you know, he made amazing solo albums himself where he played all the instruments and recorded it all on 4-track and they just sounded incredible. And he was just an amazing producer and we asked him to record that album and sort of wrote it, you know, with the idea that we would record it with him and with his like sort of style a little bit. And yeah, it was just a really formative experience. And he sort of engineered everything himself and did it all, played all the, you know, he didn't play all the instruments, but he can play all the instruments, you know, he was, and that was like, the thing about Foxtrot too is like me and Sam both also can play the instruments. Like we've always sort of made music like that with us, just playing everything and recording it all ourselves. And that was our thing. And to see him kind of make other people's albums, but he just had a, you know, he influenced the sound of it for sure, you know, without talking about it or feeling like it wasn't ours or, you know, like it still felt like our music, but he just helped the process be really easy to make.
Yeah. Do you think that's had an impact on how you work as a producer?
Definitely. This is already kind of what I do, and I had already, you know, recorded some of the Foxtrot stuff, and like I was just like, oh, I'm, you know, like it gave me confidence to be able to do that for other people.
Yeah, it seems like the art of producing, a lot of it is like, or to me, what the best scenario is, like if you're, you know, you're kind of helping an artist make a record that they want to make, you know, not the record that you want to make, you know. So I think that gets lost. And, you know,
dude, you're smart. You know, you're setting yourself up for the future. And it certainly is the certainly seems like the Rundgren model of working. There's, you know, you can kind of do what you want if you have a career producing. You can, you know, really shoot from the hip in your work.
Yeah.
And it feels that way with your work, that's for sure. Plus, the records that you produce are fantastic. I mean, there's, you know, some really, really great ones. The Whitney record is friggin' fantastic. Lemon Twigs, Beach Fossils, Father John Misty, you know, The Killers, plus your own stuff. I mean, there's, and Tim Heidecker, just a wonderful, a wonderful panoply of different stylings. And if I thought it sucked, I would tell you.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I just like working with people. You know, all those people are really nice people as well. And so it's, I don't know. I feel like I get along. I don't know. I like hanging out with people for a couple weeks and making music. Like, that's a great experience.
Yeah, you can kind of see the common thread in a lot of those things. You can see why a lot of those artists would be, like, simpatico with you, have a kind of a like-mindedness, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, everything that I feel about you as a person is kind of summed up in one moment. So yesterday, you were having some serious car issues. You were broke down on the side of the road. I chose that moment, and it was Mother's Day, I might add. And my wife was like, what the fuck are you doing calling him on Mother's Day? And I was like, it's the day before the thing. You were broke down on the side of the road. You have an endless list of stuff to do for whatever reason. You've got like some responsibilities that seem to me to fall under either tour manager or roadie. But you're doing them, and you very kindly followed through with all this, even though you didn't have to, as far as scheduling goes. But when I called you back yesterday to kind of, you know, just lock in the plans, the tone of your voice was so unassuming, like, hey, dude. And I know Joe or I would be like punching a hole in the car door. So in that moment,
I didn't know that's where you're going with that, but that's really funny.
Yeah, you're in that moment, I realized, you know, the quality of person that you are, and not everybody can get there. You know that too.
Hell yeah, man! And this morning I woke up at 8. Went.
Anything to?
I did. I woke up at 8. I did some. Talked to my therapist for 1 hour on Zoom, and then I got called a guy to come out, and there's the wheel lock for my car, you know, the wheel lock that holds on the hub of the freaking wheel,
right.
That had gone missing for some reason. So I had a flat tire. No one could take off the tire because you need a specific wheel lock that I did not have. So I had to call around to a million people, try to find someone to come out to me because I have already had my car towed back to my house. I'm going to go into this whole thing because this is going to be good for your listeners.
I'm going to find
someone you can edit this out. Someone to come out and like get the freaking wheel lock off. And then I went to the DMV, sat there for like an hour, paid my registration, got my tags, came home, popped right on this Zoom.
That's awesome. So let me ask you a question, dude. Okay. In the 1960s, recording artists are, you know, strutting around like peacocks, you know, dallying around like Sir Fauntleroy, and yet you're waking up early, going to the DMV. Do you feel like you got robbed in a certain way?
Indie rock is not a glamorous.
No,
that ain't that.
It's not a glamorous career path.
Right. Gotcha. But yet you're sort of putting an infrastructure in place that I think gives you access to a certain lifestyle that one otherwise would not. I think you'll be a successful.
I don't know. I mean, I'm in the music game, and just for me, it's like every day that I'm just making music and I'm not doing something else is a win. You know, that's how I always feel.
I have, by the way, one correlative thing with you. 3 years of college. 3 years of college, I was suspended and I never went back. you as well, 3 years, am I correct?
Yeah.
Do you regret it, or are you behind it?
I'm okay with it. Okay. I was going to film school, so it was like making school.
I was
anyway.
To film school, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone else. Cool. Yeah, yeah. I don't know anyone else who has, you know, gone 3 years to film school and then gotten suspended. You're the only other person on the planet.
Yeah. I didn't get suspended. I dropped out, but I don't regret getting out of film school because I, no.
How important
but I did get
is,
kicked out of high school. Look, I got kicked out of high school after 3 years as well, and I did my fourth year at a different bad kids high school.
Let me ask you about the film aspect of things. So, you know, I'm guessing that soundtracking, things of that nature, is something that is maybe a stone that hasn't been turned yet. But what is your relationship with film now? Is it anything of what you're pursuing or not?
There was a Foxygen video for a song called Avalon that, you know, like I sort of wrote, you know, wrote it a little bit, and that was pretty fun. I don't really have much.
You got an itch that needs scratching or no?
No, I don't. I don't think I don't know. I don't know.
You think
I'm
about
not
it
sure.
ever or no?
I've got it. You know, there's a few ideas like floating around.
All I want to say is if in the middle of the night you sit bolt upright in a flash of inspiration, covered and slicked in cold sweat.
Yeah.
Don't reveal the idea to anyone until we've had the conversation.
Okay.
Maybe cool. You can score something. That would maybe be enough.
I'd love to score something. I'm working on a bit of a score right now that's going to be really cool.
Any details you can give us, or is it too premature?
I think it's pretty premature, but it's awesome.
Sounds like you could probably talk about it, though.
It's a musical. Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
I found that doing, like, I always thought, like, scoring stuff is kind of an intimidating job to do. Then somebody actually hired me to do it, and it turned out to be, it's just making music, really. It's the same thing as everything else.
What are some of the winds that are blowing you as far as, you know, inspiration goes for what you're working on now? I know there was an era where Nilsson was the thing, and obviously Rundgren. Are there any particular winds that are blowing you this way or that?
Lately, I've just been pretty inspired by everything, you know? Like, I kind of like everything that I hear at this point. Maybe that's a bad thing, but I'm finding a lot of joy in, like...
Just listening, keeping your ears open?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Massive Attack, you know?
Huh.
Bjork.
What's up next for you, then? I mean, is this something that you're implementing right now or no?
I don't know. I feel like I'm always trying to like implement those things, even if it's very subtly, you know, and only I know it. I like 90s rave music, you know. I think that's pretty
something
cool.
You and Todd,
I'm not
that's
working
you
on
and Todd have in common.
That's precisely yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm not working on any 90s rave music, but like, I don't know. I was working on like a country song the other day, and I was thinking that it would be cool with kind of a 90s rave vibe. But I don't know. I subtly put those things in, you know.
Yeah,
I think
sometimes
that's
not always a direct one-to-one, you know. It's you know, listen to rave music doesn't mean you necessarily drop the, like, you know, the 808 bass in there or something. Maybe it's some other element of that. That's the thing
but,
that inspires
you. Know,
you.
Lately, this is kind of like probably a ridiculous thing, but I've just been putting on Apple Music, they have this station called Jonathan Rado's Station. Mm-hmm. They've made it for me. And I just click on that and it just shuffles through
are
the songs.
Accurate?
That
do they hit it on the head?
It gets pretty good. Like it feeds me things that I haven't heard. It's AI, you know?
The
it just
algorithm.
Goes off
awesome.
Of like
the algorithm.
What you've been listening to.
Is it a better song chooser than you?
Kind of. I mean, I'll go through... It has great runs. Like it'll have a great run, and then something will switch, and it'll start doing some weird something I'm not into, and I have to skip through a bunch. But once it gets on a roll, it's kind of like a good DJ.
That's pretty
I like
cool.
that. It's all great. So it'll be like Train in Vain, you know, and then like Hammond song, and then like it's all pretty
good. I love,
you know?
Hammond song, dude. The Roaches, that one especially though. I mean, it's got to be tough being a group where your best song is your very first song.
Yeah,
my whole
but
like,
the
Apple
Roaches
music.
Have a good that would be a good one. Roaches have a pretty interesting catalog.
Yeah, they do. Although nothing tops, you know, Fripp's work with them in my estimation.
Yeah,
but
really cool.
Yeah. So what are you working on now? Was the pandemic something that wound up inspiring you, or do you feel deflated? And what do you got coming down the pike?
The pandemic wasn't inspiring. Mm. No.
Did you work pretty much through it, or did you have a little break?
Yeah, I just worked a lot. Yeah. I wasn't particularly inspired by it. During the quarantine, I was like, oh, sick. Like, I'm finally going to make like an album. And it was, of course, like the least inspiring time that there has ever been. Like, the last thing I want to do is like sit in my garage and make a quarantine album.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There was no great flowering of quarantine art.
No.
I believe that Fiona Apple's Fetch the Bolt Cutters was the perfect introductory time for the record. It wasn't created during that time. But when I think of it was the pandemic, like the work, it was I think like a, of the work of two artists. One would be Fetch the Bolt Cutters, and the other would be Haim's Women in Music. Mm-hmm. I think they're, you know, one represents one aspect of it and the other quite another.
The Phoebe Bridgers.
The Phoebe Bridgers one is another one, especially the song Halloween. There's a lot of stuff on that record that's, well, I think, wonderful. She's great.
Yeah, but there's not really any, like, this is my pandemic record that turned out to, no, that's not what I'm really aware of, anyway.
Right.
I was really listening to primarily Aphex Twin.
Cool. So
I got really into Aphex Twin over pandemic.
So much great Aphex Twin.
Are you readying a Foxygen record? So I know it's been, it's been 3 years since Seeing Other People. I don't know if you and Sam had been working on anything.
There's stuff. I'm not readying it. No. Stuff.
Do whatever you got to do, man. It's your fucking world. You've done great thus far. You need beat to the march of the beat with the drum and the stuff. You do just that, okay? Please.
Just bang on the drum all day.
That's right. I can't believe you're leaving us before that. That's crazy.
That's all coming, it's all coming
full
circle.
That's a great opening for the next one.
It is.
And I can't wait to listen to it.
We can't wait to reference you constantly throughout the remainder of the episode.
Just cut me in and I could just say like, oh yeah, I thought what Joe thought.
Yeah, we probably have enough of you saying all the words we need to just cut an AI version of you.
Like a ransom
Another
note.
Great Todd Rundgrenism.
All right, that about does it. Thanks for joining us. A heartfelt Discography-ty thanks goes out to our graphic designer, Todd Zimmer, Patreon superstar and chief of staff, Corbin Betleon, my beautiful wife and son, Jen and Mason, Jonathan Rado, Joe Kennedy, and the entire Soldier of Sound Patreon community. I love you, and this show would not exist without you. Be sure to stay tuned, because this Tuesday brings upon us another incredible episode of Discography-ty's The Private Press with Paul Major, wherein you'll be introduced to a whole new world of music there's little chance you've either heard or heard of before. And then there's this Thursday's Wildcard episode as well. And of course, you'll want to tune in a week from today for Michael Farnetti's Good Morning Kisses on a Discography-ty Private Press Spectacular that's going to blow your pants through your socks right here in the place to which you come to say, I'm leaving my house, I may take my stuff, I may leave it here, I don't even give a crap as long as I've got my records. Stay gold, motherfuckers, it's Discography-ty.